welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, December 21st, 2013. This is Season 7, Episode 45. I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
I'm Dennis.
And I'm RJ.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. That is 334-272-9228. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat, as well as over on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming the cam feed right now on Twitch, and you can find us there, as well as joining the chat room live while we broadcast. So welcome to the Christmas show. It's the holiday special. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it was kind of a last-minute thing of like, you know what, it's the one before Christmas, so why not find some see if I could find some themed video game, like, Christmas music. And apparently a lot more of it exists than I thought. However, what was original, there's a ton of stuff on OC Remix.
Right.
Over Clark, yes, there's a ton of that.
Yes, there
but
is.
I was looking for, like, original stuff. You know how games used to do holiday-themed or seasonal-themed levels and stuff like that?
Christmas Nights come to mind.
We've got that coming up later on. We've got that coming up as one of our beds. But, yeah, that's one. Sonic had one on Sonic Adventures for the Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the reasons I hooked it up to when I bought mine way after the thing was dead and gone. Mm-hmm. I still hooked it up to the internet back when I had really crappy internet and still downloaded. It wasn't necessarily a level as much as it was just like a skin mm-hmm. for the stage. It was only one particular part that you could be in, but they had like holiday lights and snow and all this other stuff. And just Cameo did it for the Xbox 360. Apparently there's been a few other games that we've got. That first one was from, that you heard, was called Winter's Theme. It was from Mother 2, Earthbound?
Earthbound, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never played Earthbound, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
That voice you hear and may not recognize happens to be Dennis.
Yes.
Welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. It's
been a long time.
Very long time.
When was the last time you were here? June? July?
Yeah, it was months ago. It was thankfully not like an entire year or anything.
Oh, God. Almost. And 6 months. But so welcome back to the show. We appreciate you being here. What's been going on with you?
Not much. Mostly working as far as games go, though.
I know that's why you haven't been here, because of working. But what about your game career?
Mostly been playing things on Steam. Thanks to James and Jeremy, they hooked me up with an old box of theirs that was just full of assorted parts they weren't using. Provided a video card and have my own Steam box now, so I've been steadily catching up and have a huge library, not enough time to play the game, so I have the huge guilt factor popping in now that plagues everybody in this room as far as their Steam library goes.
Nothing like guilt backlog.
I've gotten over the guilt. I either know I'm going to get to it, or I just, you know, tell myself that one day it's there.
I never had that guilt problem with my backlog, no.
That's because you do the stuff you set out to do. You buy a game, you play it, mister.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Well, you know, when you see like 10 games on Humble Bundle for $6, it's like, yeah, I could play a couple of those. I'll just buy those and never play them. Yeah,
that's not RJ. That's not the RJ way.
Mm. But
he only buys the game he wants to play, and when he does that, he plays that game. He plays it into the ground.
And that's the smart way of doing it. Unfortunately, I'm not terribly smart.
How many platinum do you have? How many platinums you got on the on PlayStation 3?
Let's see, I know Resident Evil.
There's a lot
4.
You probably don't have if they have multiplayer involved. But
well, yeah, that's true. I don't have. Let's see, Dead Space 2, Resident Evil 4.
Already, you've got more than me.
I've got 2 platinums.
When you said just one of them, he had more than me.
Well, no, because amazingly enough, I was going through it. I've got Walking Dead as a platinum.
Okay,
that includes the 400 days. And I've done everything in those and I didn't actually seek out to do it. It just kind of happened that way.
Well, I think everything in Walking Dead, every achievement is a storyline thing. It's get to this point in the game. Maybe 400 days.
With the exception of 400 days, there is an achievement based on the rock, paper, scissors segment.
Okay.
That takes place in the car with one of the storylines. I think if you win rock, paper, scissors, you get an achievement. Or if you lose, I can't remember. It's one or the other. I think if you win it, because I had no problem winning Rock, Paper, Scissors, could not lose it to save my life. Could not lose at Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that, you saying you were trying to intentionally lose.
Because I wanted to see what happened. But I could not. I couldn't. We got so close, and I was like, all right, this is the one. And then, oh, God, we won again. Tied a ton, but that last one we'd always win. But anyway, going back to the Platinum. So you got Dead Space 2, Resident Evil, you said?
Resident Evil. Out of 4 or 5, I think it's out of 4 or 5. Well, I know I got a Platinum in one of them. But Platinum requirements, and that was like 85%. I'm not sure why it was like that, though, but it gave me a Platinum for sure. I'm trying to think of any others that were like that. I'm pretty sure there's some that gives you Platinum just for getting all the trophies available. Now, I've got Afterburner Climax is one. I've got all the trophies in that. I don't recall if there's a Platinum in that one, though.
Yeah.
If there is, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Or the remake of Frogger. I played that one to all trophies.
This man also has no shame whatsoever. He will tell you what he's platinumed in, regardless of it.
Yeah, I'll play it.
Take the credit where it's at, man. Mm-hmm. If you did it, go for it. Anyway.
Did it have a difficulty slider in it where you could just increase the speed of traffic to
It did that
go
automatically.
Go interstellar traffic.
Difficulty increased automatically. I didn't have to have no slider for that one.
Well, welcome back to the show, Dennis. Great to have you back, and looking forward to have you back for further episodes, too.
Yes, same here.
Is what we're looking forward to. So, greetings to everybody hanging out in the chat room. It is slowly building up in there, but we've got Navid is in there, Three Blades. Also, I can't read that from all the way over here. Let me look at this. Oka Mursk, I believe. I believe.
Kami SRK?
I think so. And then we've also got Lavos in the chat room as well. So welcome, everyone, or at least those are the people that are chatting. I don't have a list of actually who is all in the room, but welcome to the show. Coming up in at the top of our second hour, we will have the second part of our interview with Sam Abbott from Compulsion Games. Last week, we had the first part of that interview, and it was so long. It was about an hour long. We split it up into 30-minute segments. So part one was last week, and we will have part two coming up at the top of the second hour, so stay tuned for that. Also, throughout the episode, you're going to be hearing Christmas music from video games, not just regular Christmas music, just video-gamed music that happened to have a holiday theme to it. And we mentioned some of these Christmas nights for the Saturn. Cameo, if you still have the Xbox 360, Cameo has a holiday setting that will make some of those characters that she can turn into I can't remember exactly how the game played.
it's been a while.
Yeah, but it has some holiday thing, like the dragon's wearing a Santa hat or
The only thing I remember is it had a deck and Uno, and that's about it.
That's right, it did. A deck and, yeah, I forgot about that. Man. One of the most recent ones that's out right now, obviously, is Batman Arkham Origins.
Yes.
It takes place on Christmas Eve, and so it's got some music, and we have some music from that. But it's got music in there that has a holiday tinge to it. And you will hear that coming up in the show. Now, last week we were talking about one of the things we left off with was something going kind of wonky with Skullgirls. Konami was pulling it from the PlayStation Network. Yeah, was pulling it from all sources, I believe.
Yeah, they put in the request, and Lab Zero and the boys had to honor it. So they pulled it from the system, and
we weren't exactly sure what was going on with that. But we've gotten a whole lot more detail since the last segment of last week's episode. What are those details? I know Dennis and RJ have been following this along, so what's been going on? What do we know?
We know that they're working on a new one called Skullgirls Encore, and based on the news reports me and Dennis were talking about.
You say a new one now, is that?
A new build.
Okay.
A new build they're putting out, one that doesn't involve Konami at all. So they're putting that out, and I think they're bringing that out around early January.
Yeah, early January, and it's varying by system. PSN, for example... Mm-hmm. It's a completely new game. It's not going to be patched for the old game. You have to download it completely. I think anybody who owns Skullgirls gets it for free. Is that right?
Yeah. From what reports, we get it for free, and all the bells and whistles that's on the PC version, on the Steam version, will be coming with it.
Yeah, and Xbox Live, meanwhile, is getting a patch to the original Skullgirls to bring it up to Skullgirls Encore. Mm-hmm. But what that means is that if you're an Xbox Live player, all your leaderboard stats, all your save data gets carried across. Mm-hmm. Sadly for PSN, that's not the case at all. It's considered a new game. You have to earn achievements again and everything.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
So, you know what? Small price to pay. It's like, look, you can either have the game back and have to go through all this stuff again, or...
Not have the game?
Just not have the game at all.
Or have the game and not be able to go online with it, so...
Because that almost defeats the purpose. It's a fighting game, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
They're offering a new character free for the first 3 months, and combining all the palette swap DLC that came out for the original Skullgirls into one big pack that will also be free for a limited time. And mm-hmm. you can download that. Any new ones they add in will go into that pack. And you'll have to like be nickel and dime for each individual pack coming down the road.
Yeah, so they're doing what they can.
Yeah, it's basically the PC version with all the bells and whistles and some extra stuff as well.
Well, good to hear. I mean, I know that Konami has also, we looked this up just before the show, they pulled the...
I believe they are pulling the Simpsons arcade game and the X-Men arcade game mm-hmm. from...
But only from PSN. Or is it just now it's been pulled from PSN and it's...
I think it's just now been pulled from PSN.
It's coming to the 360 then?
Yeah, Xbox Live is still available as of right now.
But there's been no word on why that is.
No reason why. This is similar to what was discussed last week with Marvel vs. Capcom as well, which that's been pulled off of PSN and will come off of Xbox Live the day after Christmas, I believe. And nobody knows. There's speculation that's like, well, Disney is wanting to not re-sign the rights out again, but nobody knows. Nobody's saying anything.
Yeah, you know, it's an odd thing. Disney owns the rights to Marvel Comics.
Yeah, they own Marvel Comics.
Marvel Comics owns X-Men in the form of what? The publishing of X-Men comics? Correct?
And imagine, you know...
Because we know that, look, Fox owns the film rights to X-Men.
Yes.
Yes.
Fox owns The Simpsons.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's the only correlation I see between the two, if that arcade game has anything to do with...
I mean, with X-Men, it's possible that the video game license is kept separate from the film license.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. It's got to be kept separate from the film license, but does Marvel own that?
That's a good question.
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, we're throwing this out here as we're doing it. Not that we did any of this research. Some of these questions are coming to my mind, and that's what I'm asking.
It's literally like, you know, we don't exactly know, and nobody's really saying the exact reason why these are being pulled, just that, they're going away now.
Yeah, it's got to have something to do with the license for both properties, more than likely.
Yeah, I imagine so. Maybe Disney is looking for somebody else to release a new fighting game for Marvel Heroes. You know, what was it, Rise of the Imperfects or something EA did years ago, and that kind of tanked out completely.
It must have.
Disney is already apparently forging ahead with their video game license for Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
The Attack Squadrons.
Yeah, Attack Squadrons.
I look to beta. Matt when I say this now.
Oh, I've already saw the video.
Have you already signed up for the beta?
Not yet.
What is wrong with you?
I know.
Look at your shirt. Look at your phone.
You're the guy who came in here showing us this T-shirt that was available.
You probably got your equipment out in the car, right?
And
some of it, yes.
Exactly. And you haven't signed up for the beta for this?
Not yet.
You know you're going to have to put that on the stream now, right?
What, him in the costume?
Yes. He has to bring the bits and pieces or whatever and put it in front of the camera now.
Yep, that no choice.
You know what? And he's passionate at that.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Back to the Future, but I'll never dress up. The closest I'll get is try and get a DeLorean, that's it. I will never dress up as any of those people.
No.
You have no desire to put on a lab coat and Einstein wig?
You know, I'm the same with that, with Indiana Jones and with Uncharted. Let's go to the video game space. You know, Uncharted, I don't know how I could do Burnout, but, you know.
Legally.
It's none of that would ever fall into place for me. So, but that's our situation with Skullgirls and Konami. Kind of strange, and hopefully we'll have more information. It seems like every week we'll know a little bit more.
Right now we're in the middle of things, and nobody's want to say anything because, like, oh, don't want to like cause any waves with the various people we're working with. Probably.
I mean, we got that issue out of Japan. Japanese distribution is going to be delayed because the company that was producing it there, their parent company, pulled the plug.
And this is for Skullgirls.
Skullgirls. They pulled the plug on them. They just said, "Well, we saw the situation here, and it's just too much of a hassle to continue trying to keep them afloat. So we're just gonna nix the whole thing."
Yeah, it's kind of like a couple weeks ago when Atlas's parent company got bought by Sega. Everybody was like, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" It was like about 2 or 3 weeks later before Sega came out and said, "Yeah, we're not going to mess anything up. This is totally not going to have an effect on any game releases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just going to be business normal. It's just, you know, we own their parent company now."
Mm-hmm.
Well, in other news, well, not really news. We had The Walking Dead season 2. Episode 1 released this week in the studio here right now. I believe that just Matt and I are the only two that have played it.
Yes.
Dennis has not gotten to it. RJ hasn't. Mm-hmm. And James is working on it. James, by the way, will be back with us next week. And so we're going to hold off on our detailed discussion of it until next week, and maybe and probably go into some spoiler stuff then. Right now, it's going to be completely spoiler-free and just tell you spoiler-free and tell you kind of our thoughts on it. It takes about 2.5 hours for me to go through.
That sounds about right
for you. Yeah, about 2.5 hours to play through, and it was, you know, it's the first episode.
Yeah, you have to establish the setting.
You really
again,
do,
and especially for. I don't know why you do this, but if you didn't play season one, which, what's wrong with you if you did that?
They actually, just like with Mass Effect, when Mass Effect like 2 and 3 came out, if you haven't played season one or if you don't have the season one save, like let's say you played it on one console, then you get this on another, it'll actually randomly generate choices, you know, for you.
Well, is it randomly generated or is it like in Mass Effect 2 where you are just a terrible person starting out?
it's Walking Dead. There is no good decision. It's either bad decision or bad decision.
Yeah, because I'm playing
through. Bad decision or worse decision.
Yes.
I'm playing through Season 1 right now on the PC.
Oh, are you? Okay.
I originally played it on the 360, but it's like.
So you have. Okay, you've played through it.
Yeah, I've played through Season 1. I have not played 400 Days, but I'm going to steadily work my way back up there.
Do you own 400 Days?
Yes.
On the PC?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, Steam sale going on, so you might see it come across there.
Yeah, I grabbed it in the summer sale, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's something you shouldn't pass up, but yeah. I noticed that they did that where you could have it randomly select decisions for you if you haven't played or if you don't have a save file, that sort of situation. I also noticed in a lot of forums a lot of people saying, why is this coming to next gen? Because a lot of people have moved on. I say a lot.
Let's say you've mothballed your PS3 now, haven't you?
Well, no, I still have a PS3 hooked up.
Oh, okay.
Here's the strange thing. Here's something interesting that I wanted to say. As much as we've got brand new consoles, in the past week, I have bought 3 PS3 games because Amazon had a great sale. I picked up Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, the special edition that comes with the lightning sword thing, plasma globe, whatever, for $50.
Oh, wow.
Also comes with a steelbook case for the game. And I was like, I love steelbooks. Mm-hmm. And it comes with the soundtrack.
Okay.
So better. I thought, you know, go ahead and get this. Then that same day, they had the Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection for like $30 or maybe even $20. I can't remember.
That's the one that has like all of them from
tons. Yes,
I was looking at that, but the only problem is they're not the HD remakes of them. I got the one that was 2 and 3 with Peace Walker, and those are HD.
Yeah, because they did 2, 3 and Peace Walker, and they also did like Silent Hill 2 and 3 HD.
Yes, I got that as well
a couple months ago.
Yeah, there is a difference there with that. But I was like, man, it comes with a book about it. It's got all these games.
Yes.
And it was really cheap, man. I can't remember the exact price, but it was really, really cheap. So I picked it up. So there's 2 PS3 games I've got when I've already hooked up my Xbox One and my PS4. then this past week, I've already gotten the game. It's already been shipped from Amazon and delivered. Kingdom Hearts HD Remix 1.5.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one.
For $20. Limited edition. The limited edition.
Oh, really?
You're killing me on that because I got that was one of my. I have to have this day one.
I know.
And now the fact that you got it for $20, like,
did you get the limited edition?
Yes,
that comes with a book and everything. Okay,
I reordered that.
Well, what comes in with it?
You've got it. I haven't even opened it.
Kingdom Hearts 1, mm-hmm. Chain of Memories, and cutscenes from the DS game 358 over 2 days.
Okay.
The limited edition comes with a art book and. I think a special case of some kind.
Come with a special case? That's cool.
I think so. Or something along those lines.
Yeah, it was $20 for that. Which, you know, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm jumping in this. Metal Gear Solid. I need to break that up in invoice because I bought Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection and Rising. Let me see here. Just real quick. Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection was $30. Regular $50.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah, so I grabbed that. And then the other one was regular, $100, and it had $50 knocked off. So it's $50 for that. So I am, man, I'm a sucker for a good deal. on games, especially if it's got collector stuff in it and that sort of thing. I am a sucker for that sort of thing. But yeah, so while my while I've got all these new consoles set up, I've been buying these older generation games.
Well, I mean, what is there to buy on the new consoles?
There's that's true, but games. I've already kind of disconnected those things. I'm now having to go back and plug in my PS3 so that I can play Walking Dead and all these other games, which is what I did. Plugged up the PS3 again, put it back into the system so that I could play Walking Dead Episode 2, Season 2, Episode 1. And it's a setup, like we were saying, go back into this. It's a complete setup for what's going to happen later on. So you're really unfamiliar with the new characters that they introduce. I'm still not exactly sure on names. Me and Matt were talking about it before show, and we're just given descriptions of people because we don't remember their names.
Yeah.
We know one name. Clem.
Yeah.
That's it.
This isn't spoiler, she's your playable character, correct?
Yeah, that's who you play as, is Clem. And somebody made an interesting point, is that from here on out, it's interesting to know that we are not going to play the role of a leader.
Yeah.
Lee was a leader. You know, if you go back to the comic book and the TV show, Rick is a leader. But
this is more just survivor.
Clem, we're not playing as a leader on this. Clem has to kind of go with the crowd if she's with that crowd, or break off and do her own thing. But you're not really in that leadership material of where the decisions you make, the group follows.
Yeah, everybody's going to look down at her, not look up.
As best I can tell. Again, we're only in this first episode, and so a lot of the dynamics haven't really been firmly put into place. You have suspicions.
Hmm.
But it's nothing like where we were at, say, episode 2 or 3 from the first season, where we had really already made our decision of, like, you know what, I'm sticking with Kenny and his family, good people, staying with them, that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, even that changes, which I won't say much about that.
I understand, but it's still, you're in this position of this little girl, and so you don't trust any of these people. If it ain't Lee or anybody from the previous ones, mm-hmm. You don't trust any of them. It's an interesting dynamic, the way that they've done it. I will say this, and Matt kind of agrees with me. I don't want to be spoilerish on this, so I'm gonna be as careful as I can. This is more a PSA than it is anything else. If you are at all uncomfortable with bad things happening to animals, be prepared.
Yeah, this is your official trigger warning here.
It is. If you're, you know, if you're fond of animals and pets specifically, just be aware and be prepared that you're going to have to deal with it in this episode. I was not prepared. Took me completely by surprise.
Same here.
And it was one of those things where I was like, man, because I was talking to somebody who played it. I really wish they'd have told me that was in there just so I could be more prepared for it to happen.
But at that point, you know, is the more realist experience of you not knowing it and all of a sudden happens.
But I still felt I didn't like it. I didn't like
I don't think you should. I didn't like
it. You can't, look, you can't get around it. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? The rest of the episode is based on exactly this happening, and so it's got to happen. There's some decisions you can make in really what you do, but bad stuff's going to happen. And so just be aware. It's very strange, because like I was saying, I'm playing Assassin's Creed, and I'm hauling up whales and, you know, harpooning sharks and all these other animals, and then like skinning rabbits and deer and everything else, no problem.
That's nothing new. I mean, like, look back, you know, to even like Red Dead Revolver and, you know, I mean, Red Dead Redemption. I almost, you know, single-handedly made, you know, entire animal populations extinct in that game, you know. But
one more cougar throw rug.
Exactly. But in this one, it caught me by surprise, and I almost didn't know how to handle it. I was like, it really shook me. I was like, wow.
Yeah. It's really jarring. So just be careful if you have any kind of aversion to that or any kind of uncomfortable unsettlingness about things like that happening. So, but we'll get into more of that discussion next week when James comes back, because he's playing it as well. We'll have a more perspective and more depth on as much as you can with a 2.5-hour game. So anyway, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'll tell you about my Xbox One situation and finally wrap up that story, which will probably take about the full 30 minutes just to get through it. Anyway, right now I'm going to break with, this is another Christmas-themed music. This is from Chocobos. Did I say that correct?
Yes.
Chocobos Mysterious Dungeon. This is called Happy Christmas. Chocobo's Happy Christmas. We'll be right back with more in-game chat in just a moment. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there from Nights.
Christmas Nights, yeah.
It was Christmas Nights, but the game is called Nights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So music there from Christmas Nights and...
First game on the Saturn, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I believe Saturn. It was, mm-hmm. So... Sorry, trying to fix some audio here. Anyway, welcome back to the show, and like I said, Christmas music going on throughout... the program, and you'll hear some more of that stuff coming up, but right now wanted to get into some of the discussion with what's going on with my Xbox One. And what we've got there is everything has been fixed, and so what we have is I got a new Xbox, basically. What happened, as you remember, is I had the disk drive issue. Had the little noise. It couldn't read a disk. It had that grinding noise.
Yeah, death rattle.
It was horrible. I contacted Microsoft support. They said that hey, we're going to do the advanced exchange. Ultimately, what it came down to is that they told me they were doing an advanced exchange, which is when they send you a console, and then you put your broken one in the same box, and they have a shipping label, and you send it back. That way, you can still play and everything else. You don't have to wait around. I was like, that's really cool. I don't mind doing that. So that's what we did. Except they never took any credit card info from me, which is something I didn't know that was going to have to happen. They had my credit card on file. I'm an Xbox Live member. They've got my credit card on file, but they didn't take any info from me or anything like that. And so I called them a couple of days later and found out that, no, you're not doing that. We're waiting for you to send in your console. Things got really confusing and things got really screwed up. I contacted Microsoft PR. I was told from Nick over at
Co-Optimus,
BA Penguin. And he said, why don't you get in touch with Microsoft PR and let them know what's going on? I said, well, you know, I'll try. They probably don't care, or that they're just too busy, or, you know, it's kind of outside the fact of what anybody else would have to do to get their Xbox fixed. But I did it anyway. I was like, fine, sure, whatever. I emailed them. They responded. They said, hey, we'll be getting in touch with you soon. This was just before Thanksgiving. Over the Thanksgiving break, I decided to try the, what did I call it? The
percussive maintenance?
Percussive maintenance is what it was called. The percussive maintenance technique, which is basically to flip your Xbox One upside down, find the disk drive, slam it a good few times, and flip it back over, see if it worked. I did this. I videotaped it. I haven't posted it yet, but I did film it. And it worked. It was great. Wonderful. It worked.
No grinding noise at all.
No grinding noise. No nothing. It took the Blu-ray. It played it. Everything was great. Everything had worked out wonderful. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I was still nervous about that. I'm like, you know what? I just fixed it by hitting it. How long will that last?
How long before it just sits there and explodes?
How long before I've got to flip? I've got to hit the thing every time I want to play something when it just can't stay locked in? How long before something like that screws up? So I was still nervous about it. So that was that weekend. Monday, I got a call from somebody named Justin who works for Microsoft Support. He called me. He's like, hey, man, we're really sorry about this. Can you tell me the situation and everything? And I said, here's what's been going on. He said, yeah, we do have to put a hold on your account for the $530 if we're going to do the advanced exchange. And I was like, man, any other time of the month, this would be fine. But it was the end of the month. Going into Black Friday, it was a holiday, so even getting paid was going to be a while before the bank took the processing and everything else.
You'd also just gotten the PS4.
I'd gotten the PS4. I just laid down over $1,000.
Yeah.
Of getting these things, and I was like, man, I can't have you put it on a hold. And a lot of people were curious as to like, why can't you do this? And I didn't really respond, but I will now is the fact that I don't have a credit card. I've got a debit/credit card, but if I put a hold on
it's your bank.
That holds money out of my account.
That's literally money you can't spend.
Yeah, I can't spend it all. So it's not, if I had a credit card, I sure would have put it on there if I could have, because I knew I was going to get that money back. I didn't mind doing that. But I only had a debit card and it wasn't going to work. So in the meantime, in between that, Amazon got a shipment of Xbox Ones. And I have an Amazon card. I can't use that anywhere but on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a credit card. And so I bought another Xbox One. I got it. Interestingly enough, you could not order the day one edition, but you could order the standard edition. However, they sent me a day one edition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have an extra day one achievement, by the way. I don't think I'll eBay it, but people are paying some good money for that. But if somebody really wants a day one achievement, I may give it away to some listeners.
There are people
on the
out there who've got to have it.
A day one achievement. But so, yeah, there's that, and which I thought was interesting. So still, apparently, some day one launch editions are still available to you, possibly. I haven't heard from anybody else if they've been getting those or not from ordering through Amazon. So, by the way, that second one that I bought had no problem whatsoever.
Oh, good.
It was fine. So I thought that was interesting. A couple days later, Justin calls me back. He's like, okay, I tried to get in touch with GameStop to see if they were going to get in some shipments so we could do a quick change that way. They're not responding to me, so we can't do this. So we're going to make this work for you. What game, like he said, have you not had any games to play or anything like that? And I was like, well, I game-flyed a couple. He's like, what did you game-fly? I was like, Rise and Dead Rising 3. He's like, okay, I'm going to send you codes for those. Are there any other games you want? I said, sure.
All of them, thank you.
But he's like, I can only give you the first-party titles of Microsoft. And I was like, well,
than nothing.
Yeah, so I got Zoo Tycoon. I got Forza 5, Dead Rising 3, Rise, of course. And was there anything else? I think that's it.
Was LocoCycle?
I had already gotten LocoCycle.
Okay.
Twisted Pixel had already hooked me up with LocoCycle. And the fact that it was downloadable. Which is fine. I could do that. I can buy it and download it, and that's no big
deal.
Just
as long as your disk drive wasn't spent.
Yeah, but I wasn't. None of those other games that I mentioned. Where I was, I going to go out and buy rent? Sure, but not buy. So they did that. So they're going above and beyond now. The next thing they did was he called me again a couple of days later and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know you're going to get an email pretty soon letting you know that there's an Xbox on your way." I was like, "Are we doing the advanced exchange?" He's like, "Yeah, but we're not putting it on your card or anything like that." And I said, "Okay." So I got my Xbox One from Microsoft. Comes in a box that is just the console itself. It does not come with a Kinect, a controller, or anything else. Just the box, because that's all they want you to switch out.
Yeah.
The website, when you go through support, tells you differently. Says you need to pack everything up, which is what I had done originally to get everything ready to go. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you do. You just switch out the boxes, the consoles, the console system itself. So he said, "You know, take it home, try it out, make sure it works." I took it home, I plugged it in. It couldn't connect to the internet.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
It kept telling me it was connected, but put it this way. It couldn't download the update. It kept telling me it was connected. I tried it wired. I tried it wireless. Every time it said, "You know what? You're connected. Let's go download the update." "Oh, there's an error downloading your update." Could not figure out what's going on.
Jeez.
I went to support again. I didn't call them. I just went online. I went to their online diagnostic tool. They tell you to do all this stuff before you even get to that part. Turn it off. Hard reset it. Unplug it. Make sure the wire's unplugged. Turn it back on, plug in the wire, go over your different, reset your router, reset your, all this, just all these things before they tell you, they call it their online diagnostic tool. All it is their update on a flash drive. That's all it is. Mm. So I went and downloaded the update. You needed at least 2 gigs of space. I had some sticks that were 1.97. And 1.5, they were all two.
They wanted exactly 2 gigs.
I was worried. I was worried about that. So I used my 64 gig stick. And I said, "Sure, let's put it on here." Formatted it like they wanted to. Downloaded it like they said. They said, "Put the files." They said, "You know, unzip it and then put the files in the on the flash drive." I did that. I took it to the box. You have to make sure it's off for 30 seconds. Unplugged. Just make sure it's off. Mm-hmm. Plug it in. Plug in your thumb drive into one of the USB ports. Hold down the bind button that binds the controllers on the side while also pressing the eject button. And then turn the console on while holding those two buttons.
And wow. Have three arms at the same time?
They got you doing stunts now?
It's tough. It was a little tough. But you had to do that and then turn it on. This, somehow, if you do it, you'll hear the power on tone twice in a row very, very fast if it works.
Okay.
What that does is it tells the Xbox, you need to look at this flash drive. You need to look at this external hard drive in order to grab information from it.
Basically telling it, hey,
boot from there.
Device.
It's boot from there, basically, is what it is. Boot from the USB stick. And it just wasn't working. It was not working. I was so upset. I was like, "You know what? I'm going to have to call Justin tomorrow and let him know what's going on." I was talking to James about this, and I was like, "Man, I can't figure out what's doing it." He's like, "Have you tried all this other stuff?" I said, "You know what? I've tried it. I can't figure out what's going on. I'm frustrated. I'm going to bed, whatever." And I told him the next morning, I was like, "You know, it's amazing what do you ever have a problem in a game? You just can't get past it. Then you wake up the next morning and you're like, I know how to fix that. And you go and you get through it. It's the same thing that I had here. I was like, that. I went and I looked at the file size that needs to be on the stick. It's fine. You don't need 2 gigs. I don't know why, but you didn't need 2 gigs. I was like, this will fit on one of my smaller size thumb drives. Not only that, instead of taking the files out of it and plugging them in, let me just take the one folder and put it over there. Because what I was doing was I was going in the files in the folder, taking them from there and putting them into the thumb drive. So I just grabbed the folder and put it over there. Worked like a charm. Did its update. Everything was fine. So my Xbox One situation is now fixed. I have sent it off. They haven't called me back to tell me they've got it. I should probably check on that. But
it's doing better connecting to the internet?
Oh, no, it's fine. It got through that. It was downloading the update. It was connected to the internet. Just could not download the update.
Okay.
I talked to him about that, and he's like, "That's an interesting problem to know." And I said, "You're going to know more about this than I am, man, but the only thing I can think is that you've got 2 updates sitting out there right now. There's an initial update when people buy their consoles, and then there was an update they rolled out just a few weeks ago for the system." And I thought, I said, you know, maybe it's because you got two updates sitting on their server and it doesn't know which one to grab, or grabs the wrong one first or something. I don't know what the case is. But he's like, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. I think we've gotten some reports about this as well. So we'll look into that. But he's supposed to call me one final time to make sure that he got the Xbox that I sent them, and then everything will be done. I have a working Xbox with some games to play that I haven't touched because I've been playing Assassin's Creed 4.
I'll say every time I see you on Steam, it's like AC4 all the way.
I'm a glutton for that thing. The problem is I get in there, and if I open up a new city in AC4, I have to gold it, which basically means get all the treasures, get all the fragments, get everything that section requires. Because what happens is when I finish a game like that, and I look and I'm like, oh, you're only like 10 away. And I was like, man, if I was being steady with this thing, I wouldn't have to go island hopping and all back and forth and grabbing these things. If I'd just gone through it and gotten done island as each one opened up, finish it off, I'd be all right. That's how I was with Crackdown when I got all 500 of those orbs. So I'm doing it again with AC4. It's really tough.
I imagine it's a lot easier in AC4 because you actually have things on the map.
Oh, no, it's tons easier than it's tons easier in AC4.
Because I remember those orbs.
Time-consuming, but it's a lot easier. So that's what I've been doing in AC4. But, yeah, my Xbox situation is all wrapped up. Everything is good, and things are looking good for me in that regard. So hopefully I'll play some of my Xbox titles. They're sitting there, but, when I turn it on, I'm either going to watch some TV, or the other thing that I played recently was, like, Peggle 2, because it was out, and I was like, let me go ahead and download it and play it. And I played a couple of levels, and I was like, yep, it's Peggle. And then went back to AC4. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. Got a lot of time coming up, so I'll be hopefully branching out and playing some other stuff. Got the Steam sale going on, so kind of picking up some stuff there. Got the Batman Arkham Origins Season Pass on PC because it was discounted.
Yeah, I need to pick that up.
Well, it's daily deals over with. So it may show back up one of the community deals or one of the flash sales. And if it does, you should. It's $10, where it's normally like 20. So good deal there. Steam sale is hitting a lot of stuff right now.
I saw Bioshock Infinite, $10, I believe.
Yeah, and the Season Pass was
the Season Pass discount, I think it was still 20.
Was it?
Yeah. I remember looking, I was like, okay, I played Infinite on consoles. I'm kind of interested in Burial at Sea. Might as well get Season Pass.
But and it was like, still $20.
Yeah.
Interesting.
None of the DLC was discounted.
Right now, your daily deals include Age of Empires 2 HD Edition, Counter-Strike GO, Ace of Spades, Darksiders 2, Starforge, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords, Sleeping Dogs at $5, which is amazing.
Yes.
Not compared to what, the 79 cents you paid for it?
No, I paid $5. It was like 90-some-odd percent off. And I think it was last year at this time when it happened.
Yeah, because I remember that you just got it in absurd.
I was like, oh, it's $5 because it was like 90% down. I was like, yep, picking that up.
And it was like an error they corrected in an hour.
And just, no, it was just a few minutes, just like 10 minutes it was corrected. Wolf Among Us, is the whole season of that is just $16. And then another game on there that we've actually interviewed and James and I have played, and we would encourage you guys to pick this thing up, Forced, is on there for $7.50. Really fun game, very co-op game. Don't go into this thinking it's going to be fun single player. It's a big co-op type title, and it's a lot of fun. James and I streamed. I think we tried to stream playing it once, and we interviewed the guys who made it. Really fun game. So hopefully, I'll have more people on my friends list checking that out. I would also, here's another PSA for you: if you see Speedrunners on sale, go ahead and grab it. It's really cheap. It's like $1.50 when it's hitting one of those daily deals or the flash sales, or $3, I think. Pick it up, man. That's a lot of fun, too.
I'll say one of the flash sales right now, Binding of Isaac, $1.25. Every human being on the planet must play that game and realize how great it is.
I own it, but I don't think I've ever played it. I've watched you play it, and I've watched Jeremy play it. Because you guys did streams of those way back when. Yep. I've watched you guys play it.
I need to do some more of those, because that's such a great game. It just, you, Every time you play through it and die, you learn a little bit more about that game and how to survive just a little bit longer. It's great.
Well, I will. I don't know when I'll play. I don't know when I'll start that game up. I really don't.
You have like 500 titles in your Steam library.
I know. There's some that I like. Kentucky Route Zero. I really want to get to.
Yeah.
It's starting to pop up on a lot of people's Game of the Year lists.
I need to play through that. I did play through Gone Home, which was
another one.
That was a good one. I really enjoyed that.
I grabbed that for like $5, and I need to play that now. Yep. James has played it. I'm surprised that I've gone through it as long as I have without being spoiled, because apparently there's a lot to be spoiled on about
there
that
is.
Game.
Like, I wouldn't discuss any detail with you. Except I'm sure you know this. It was originally a mod for Amnesia, I believe.
Mm-hmm. No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I believe it was listed on here. And they have the mod available for Amnesia where you can, like, try out the prototype of it.
Huh.
Hmm.
But that
makes me a little apprehensive.
I can't say anything
I know, that's
past
fine.
That because you just need to play. It's like...
Don't say anything. That's fine.
Yeah, I can't. I just can't because otherwise it's like, but then that'll ruin this particular moment here. And you need that when you play it.
Yeah. Let me tell you, a game that I have enjoyed playing, and it feels like you really only get the fun out of it one time. And I don't know that Gone Home fits into that category where it's like, you know what? It'll never be the same again.
I would play back through it again.
Yeah.
It is very much where the first time is going to be your best time playing.
Definitely,
the game.
Yeah.
It is a purely story. It's the people who complained about Walking Dead not being a game because, oh, it's all story-driven and honor route and everything, they will hate Gone Home with a passion.
It really does kind of like make you reassess what you call a game in a way,
yeah.
But it is well worth it. It is an excellent experience.
The game that I found out, it's free now because its sequel's been released, but it's an iPad game and it's called The Room.
I played that on Android, and that's a
iPad and Android game. God, did it hit all the right notes for me?
I'll say you're a big Myst fan. I'm sure that was like, ooh.
Well, sort of. The scenery, you know, Myst has a lot of things going for it, but this was like puzzles, man.
Well,
nothing but like.
And, like, all objects moving them around.
Here's
like
an object, and everything you need to know about getting into this object is on this object.
Yep, exactly.
You just have to be observant and look and be, you know, somewhat clever to an extent. And the little hint system will help you out. It's great that it's there, because I did get stuck a few times, but oh my God, did I love that. That and the epilogue that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Room 2 is available now for like $5 on the.
Yeah, I don't think it's hit Android yet. I think it's iOS only right now.
But I it's one of those things where I'm like, man, I want to get the Room 2. I just finished the Room and I want to get the Room 2, but part of me is just like, I don't want that experience to be over with though. I know when I get this,
you're going to be sitting down for hours.
I'm
going to
burn through it. Not because it's easier, because I'm. God, not smart whatsoever, but just because it will consume me, and I will, it's like reading a good book or something, man. It's just, time just flies.
It takes every pleasure center in your brain.
It works. God, I love that game. So I cannot, look, try it out. It's free. The first one is free. The Room right now is completely free. So try that out. And if you're a puzzle fan, man, if it does not hook you to get the Room to, you know, then it's not for you. I can't really say anything bad about you. Then it's just not for you. But, man, loved it. Loved the hell out of it. Anyway, we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back for the top of the hour, we're going to have our second part of the interview with Sam Abbott from Compulsion Games to talk about Contrast. And he will it's a very long interview. You're going to get a lot more insight into this one, dealing with their deal with Sony, how they got into the PS Plus program, how that situation sort of worked, how they've dealt with the reviews of the game, what's next for them, what's next for PS Plus, by the way, when they leave. He will tell you what the game is that's going to take their place and when that's going to happen. So you kind of have an idea of how long you have for grabbing Contrast for free off of PS Plus. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat. Going to go into the break now from Batman Arkham Origins. This is Joker's Theme. We will be right back. back to Endgame Chat. Right now, we'd like to play for you the second part of a two-part interview. The first part we played last week on the show. This is with Sam Abbott. He is the community manager and one of the developers for Compulsion Games, who did Contrast, which was released just around the launch of the PS4, actually. It is on Steam. It is on 360. It is also on the PS4, and for free if you're a PS Plus member. So we're in the second part of this interview, and we're just talking about the development of the game, which is where we left off last week. So that being said, here is the second part of the interview with Sam Abbott on Endgame Chat. Next question comes from Reverent, and he wants to know, what influenced the art style for Contrast?
So that's an answer that I can speak about for quite some time. Early on in the game was originally, believe it or not, a kind of cyberspace hacking game where shadow shifting was one of your abilities. And then we realized pretty early on that that was something we really wanted to focus on, and we felt that if we're focusing on just that, it didn't make sense to be in a cyberspace sort of world. So we started looking at what eras really used shadows a lot. And we ended up settling on sort of, you know, a mix up of film noir from the 40s because of its, you know, telling stories through shadows, and, you know, things are very, very dark most of the time. And also vaudeville from the 20s, the idea of performances and, you know, focuses on shadows as well in those actual performances. So the art style, in terms of actual artistic styles, the design and architecture is based on roughly a combination between German Expressionism and Deco. So if you look up in Contrast, some people notice it immediately, others don't. But if you look up in the early streets levels, you'll see that all of the buildings kind of tower over you a little bit, and they're just all a bit warped. And it's the idea of, we liked that idea of, you know, film from the 20s and like Metropolis, and I've forgotten all of the other fantastic films, where you have this crazy warped architecture and everything's a little bit surreal and doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So those were two big architectural components.
Yeah.
I would combined say with the,
Well, I mean, it's hidden a bit. I mean, obviously it becomes shown, it becomes very apparent as you progress through the game, but that first street level, it's very hidden, but if you can kind of make your way to the fringes of the streets, then it really exposes itself for, because you see how you're not really in some kind of reality here.
Yeah.
Because you see the broken streets and the suspended animation type stuff going on the outskirts of it. Like I said, it becomes very apparent when you get more open into the levels as to really what's going on as far as, you know, where you're at.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to talk about this because this is really, I didn't do this, so I'm allowed to say this, but it's really clever. The broken world is very clever.
Oh, I love
it. It's clever because we're not a big team, right? Mm-hmm. We can't build a full city. Yet somehow we managed to make this fantastic city. There's not a lot of areas that you can actually run around in because it's the gameplay part of things that takes up so much time and design and creation. But the world seems complete if isolated, and then you get to these bits and you're like, wow, this looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at it and like, yeah, it is totally awesome. That's totally not, because that's where we run out of budget to create more of the world. So I was actually joking about this with our artist last night. So it's actually a really interesting trade-off, because a lot of what we did in Contrast that I'm particularly proud of is we were very careful and thought very hard about how to make the most of a limited budget. And the game, honestly, for a team of six people, I don't think you're going to see a game that looks well. There are probably a couple that can compare to that, but I mean, you know, Portal had up to 90 people working on it at one point. So I'm very proud of the team and what we managed to do with the budget that we had. And the architectural style and how we built the world was all a big part of that.
Yeah, it was, it's really good. And I would urge people who are, I mean, if you got it through PS Plus, that's great. But if you don't have that option and you have the Steam option,
go for the collector's edition if you can. The art book that comes with it, seriously, it's, you guys had it on display at PAX, and I was really hoping you would include it and more. It's great. The concept art, man. I told you I wanted to commission Whitney on some of these things and get her to do, or at least get some of the pieces that she's done for this and get them in a bigger scale just to have them. That lighthouse in the art concept was just, there's a couple of my favorites, and the lighthouse is one that really sticks out for me that I'm like, I want that hung up on a wall.
It's beautiful. I mean, she just nailed. There are actually a couple of lighthouse concepts, and I love them both. So yeah, Whitney's extremely, extremely good. And she just goes off and makes these amazing things. And as a non-artist, I have no idea how she does it.
And she's not contracted with you guys. She's actually employed with you guys, right?
Yeah. So good. She was our first employee.
Good. Good. Make sure you keep her. You do what you have to do and make sure you keep her on the team, because she is going to be pulled away from you guys if you don't keep her there. She's going to be money-hatted and brought over to someone else. But you guys keep her there because she needs to stay with you guys and continue to do work for you. I mean, I want to see her grow, obviously, but do what you can to keep her.
We will, and I mean... Yeah, I think you'll be. I think you'll see. You'll enjoy what's coming up next. When we start publishing it.
Like, yeah, I'll get to. We'll get to. I'd like to keep these. I don't want to jump right into. I'm not going to be a VGX and get to Game of the Year in the middle of the interview. But I do want to get to what's coming next and talk about that. But one of the other questions Reverend had is: do you think? And this goes back to the criticism of the game. Do you think game criticism, as it exists today, is beneficial for games as an art medium? Loaded question.
Extremely loaded, and I can only answer it in a biased sense, right?
Right.
People in the vast majority of game reviews, for contrast, said, oh, the art style's really cool, and they did this amazing thing. Few bugs, 4 out of 10. And it's like, what? What are you doing? So criticism is an art form, I think. Sorry, short answer, I think we do need to have increasing sophistication in reviews, but it's a very easy statement for me to make from, you know, an art game that didn't review all that well with, say, hardcore gamer magazines. It's kind of also hard because I think each product needs to be reviewed on its merits, and if a reviewer doesn't have a good time and if they're frustrated by it, I think it's absolutely fair, right? Mm-hmm. To post up a negative review. However, the people who appreciated that side of the world gave it scores 40 points higher than the others. And I think that speaks for itself, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think games reviewing as an industry is probably got a reasonably long way to go. I mean, we have some of the big sites get some really chronic errors in their reviews. So... can I name a site? Should I name a site?
It's your choice, man. Again, you're talking to us, and so free to say whatever you want.
Well, there was one site, and it posted a reasonably negative review, and I was really unhappy with it for one reason. And at the end, this is actually Rock Paper Shotgun, and at the end of their review, they said, I just have the feeling that an indie team with half the budget could have, you know, managed this better than these guys did with a full team. And I just looked at it and I was like, you have no idea who we are. You've made a judgment based on, I mean, our art was so nice that you think that we're a AAA team. And that's great. But at the same time, man, we're 6 people. I mean, so it was very hard for us not to feel, not to feel a little bit misrepresented by that, I think. And so we didn't respond to the article. We had a couple of people in their comments come back and say, I'm pretty sure it's a small team. And that was an error. Anything else is opinion, right? And that's cool. We can deal with that. But when you get mistakes like that, I mean, if you judged Hotline Miami on having 100 staff and you come back and you're like, it's a 2D game with retro graphics. how on earth did 100 people make this? It's terrible. But it's not like that. Hotline Miami is made by a very small team, and it's a great game. It's like you can't review that product comparing it to bigger titles. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I've been wanting to get that off my chest for a month or so now.
Feel free, man. You go ahead. Yeah. You go ahead and you can name drop all you want, and you get it all out. Just go ahead. Vent away if you need to. We're fine. We're honestly fine with that because, I mean, we do. I tell you, to get a little bit off topic for a second, you know, not that we're already running long on this interview, which is fine. I appreciate it and love this, but we like to get honesty from the people we talk to. We're not a fan of talking to PR heads. We really aren't, because they've got a script that they follow, that they can't talk about this or we can't mention that. We dealt with it before, and we're fine with that. Honestly, we are, but we really prefer talking to people like you who are very like, you know what, I'll talk about anything you want to, and I'll be honest with you as much as I can. So we appreciate that.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be able to be open. I mean, truth is, those PR people have generally very good reasons for what they do. I mean, I've been quoted out of context a million times, and I still haven't learned my lesson. So,
right, and trust me, we won't quote you out of context because, I mean, we're going to put this entire interview in there. There's nothing that we're going to cut from this to have it in the show because we like to be very transparent about these things, and we hold people responsible for what they say. However, a lot of them don't like to comment on the things that they say that we hold them responsible for. if that makes any kind of sense. So, but that's getting a little bit off topic. But back to Reverend's questions. What was one particular challenge that the team faced in developing the game?
So, I think probably the biggest challenge we faced was that with an innovative mechanic. Nobody's done the shadow shifting thing before. There was a project called Shadow Physics that Steve Swink did a few years ago, which we were privately shocked at when it came out because we'd been working on the game at the same time. And then so Shadow Physics was announced and we were horrified, and Shadow Physics eventually got cancelled. So this is really the only game where you can do the shifting thing. But designing it is not easy. It's really, I mean, 2 years into it, we were getting to the point where we could start designing some really good things. But of course, at that point, half your game's built, or, you know, most of your game is built. So the big challenge was learning how to create create puzzles that had that challenge and had that kind of cool factor to them. But at the same time, introducing this mechanic that people never used. And so it's kind of, it takes a little bit of time for people to pick up on. I mean, those first 20 minutes of Contrast are very, very carefully designed so that you begin to pick up what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first 20 minutes in particular have been absolutely designed to try and introduce the shadow shifting mechanic to be second nature, but that took a lot of time to get it like that. Really did.
What was it like to know that you'd be releasing a next-gen launch title as an indie developer?
It was great. I think maybe we didn't quite appreciate what it meant. It was very flattering, to be quite honest, to be spoken to by Sony and by them to say, hey, we'd really like you to be on the PlayStation 4. And we thought, well, that's awesome. And they've been very, very supportive, and I have absolutely nothing but good things to say about Sony. And yeah, we were very excited, very flattered, and we made the launch. I think there were a lot of expectations based on it.
Yeah.
I think gamers don't. I still think the gaming mainstream doesn't quite understand indie games yet. So we get a lot of comments from disappointed gamers who play on the PlayStation 4 and say, "This isn't next gen." But of course, next gen doesn't mean anything outside of the console space.
Well, I mean, and also you guys are released on, what, the 360 and the PS3, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it's the same game. It's not, like...
yeah, there's no difference.
Yeah, there's no difference in it. As far as I know, there's no...
resolutions, basically.
Right, and you can tweak some of the things. I mean, obviously, the PC gives you a lot more freedom into what you can do.
Yes.
With the game itself. So, I mean, that you kind of have to sit that to the to the side. And it sits in its own little bubble, since you can do so much more with a PC copy of a game than you can with these console versions.
Absolutely. On that, actually, if there are any PC enthusiasts listening who do want to set up some really good graphics options, please come see us at the Steam forums, because there are a lot of things that you can tweak in the basically in the config files that make it even prettier than it is.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with a game that involves light.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, one of the questions spins off from that as far as Rain asks, how did having contrast be one of the first PlayStation Plus games available for the PlayStation 4 impact compulsion games? Was it a positive experience?
Yes, it is a positive experience. We're still in the middle of it. But what I can tell you is that so many more players have played contrast than we expected.
Obviously.
And that's something. That's really something. And we are, I think it's pretty awesome, actually. I mean, so many people have played it, and regardless of, you know, not looking at the people who absolutely hated it because they like Call of Duty more than anything in the world, but there have been so many people who have just played it who wouldn't have otherwise. And that is a great thing. And we feel very good about that.
Was that the benefit of the trade-off? Whenever, I mean, Sony, obviously they were ready for, they had Drive Club and Resogun as their PS Plus titles for PlayStation 4. And then Drive Club couldn't do it. And then how did it come about that you guys got to take that position?
So they actually just contacted us around about the time of Indiecade, I think, which was about a month before launch.
And you guys were always going to launch with the PS4, correct?
That was the plan, yeah. I mean, we actually didn't nail down our release date until we signed this Plus deal. So what happened was that Sony just contacted us and said, hey, we want to get you as part of, you know, Plus for the thing.
Did they say why they wanted you guys? Or
no. So we didn't know about Drive Club. Mm-hmm. We had no idea. The Drive Club cancellation was obviously a big shame for the Drive Club guys. But for us, it was a double-edged sword because we were getting included, which was really great. At the same time, so many comments on forums being like, Drive Club is being replaced by this artistic shadow thing? Like,
right. I mean,
happening?
I think a lot of people expected something equivalent to be replaced. Like, why not Need for Speed? Or why not, you know, racing game replaced with another racing game instead of racing game being replaced with an indie platformer puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, type thing. I think they expected quality to quality type situation. You know what I'm saying? As far as really realistic looking drive sim type thing.
And yeah, we can't compete with that. I mean, if we had the same team and budget that they did, we could have done something outrageous, I expect. But yeah, I mean, I actually think it's really cool because Sony support for indies is going to mean that a huge amount of people rediscover how versatile and brilliant gaming can be. Because, like, we all know, like, listeners listening to this listening because they love video games, and you and I love video games, and we've got all of these, we've probably got 30 years of history of gaming each, and there have been magical moments in them. And I think the indie spirit and revolution right now is the idea of trying to harness that again, and go back and try and explore those cool moments. And Sony supporting them and putting them on PS Plus is, I think, great. I just think it's great. And so, sure, we may not, you know.
That's a good point I never actually thought about, was that Sony had Drive Club ready to go, and they couldn't do it. So instead of going to one of their other big names, as far as, you know, a big type of in-house developers, and saying, hey, let's put you on there because we need to replace this big title with another big title type situation. Instead, they reached out to an indie, you know, and said, we'd like to feature you. I mean, that's a big thing. You're going to be, your exposure to that, or your exposure became huge once that happened.
It really did. And I mean, one of the things behind creating Contrast was to create a game that would help us build a community and inspire people and be interesting. And so, I mean, it was always going to be a gamble. Every game is a gamble on release, but with the PS Plus promotion, there are just so many people playing. And so the benefit for us, I think, at this point is to say, well, now when we talk about it, people are like, oh, yeah, I know Contrast.
Exactly. That's a big deal to have to actually mention that game, and people will know what that is just because the masses were able to be exposed to this, rather than the masses having to discover it for themselves. That's a big deal. I mean, the trade-off on this, I'm very curious how that works. Does Sony Sony obviously compensates you for this, right? They give you an amount of money, and because you're not going to get any money from
sales,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know what you can disclose, but if you can you give us any insight into how that whole situation works?
What I'll say is that yes, there is. You don't get forced into PS Plus deals, right? And Sony is very reasonable in discussions and negotiations. So, yes, we are being compensated. Whether it's going to pay off for us in the long run is another question. We don't really know yet. Mm-hmm. But, yes, that is the trade-off. So, effectively, PS Plus subscribers get the game for free, and we don't get sales from that.
Right.
But having said that, right, vast numbers of players are playing, far more than probably would have bought it. So that is a good thing. Whether it translates across to sales in January and February or March, obviously we do hope so, because you know otherwise we might struggle to make a new game, but we really have to wait and see. But all I will say is that PS Plus is people don't go into it unwillingly, right? They know what they're doing.
Usually the PS Plus games, they last for about a month and then they switch out, but is it different now because you guys are on a launch? Like, I mean, this is the launch of a brand new console. So does it get extended for the 2 months for like, you know, Christmas and new people who are coming into using a PS4 or buying a PS4 for this season? How long is that going on?
So we're going on until January the 7th.
Okay.
So I believe Resogun is continuing. Mm-hmm. And I think Don't Starve is coming on to replace us on the 8th of January.
That's good to know. That's a nice little insight to know. You've got the full 2 months there for anybody who is still curious about PS Plus or maybe curious about Contrast who you know want to try that. And it's a nice little trial thing. I mean, you have to pay for the subscription, although you get a month free when you buy the console.
That's right.
And does that PS Plus, does that extend for people on the PS3 as well?
It does not for the PS3 version of Contrast. It's possible right now, I think, that PS3 users can pick it up on the web store for the PS4 version. I'm not sure if that's intentional or not, so I don't know what's going to happen there.
I think I'm going to pronounce this guy's name wrong. Minaj, I think is his name. He says, I just wonder how much Sony gave them to appear on the Plus service, seeing as that makes the game free for a lot of gamers, so no income for them, but I'm probably not going to get a straight answer. And why they chose that way to go, even without the monetary bit, why did they want their game on Plus?
As far as the dollar value, probably not enough. that's a funny one. I can't talk about what the number is, but probably not enough. Why did we choose to go that route? Basically, for us, and I'll give you the business answer first. And the main reason was that we had hoped that with the PS4 PS Plus deal that a whole bunch of people would play it and then recommend it to their friends, and their friends would pick it up on other platforms as well. It's called the halo effect. So it's the idea of one platform doing so well that it spreads to other platforms as well. Mm-hmm. We had hoped that would be the case. We don't know if that's the case yet, so we're still waiting on some up-to-date sales numbers on things. And I don't think, because of the way the Plus promotion is going and how it's doing really very, very, very well. A lot of people are playing. So I don't think we'll really know how successful it was from a business point of view until maybe the end of March. That's a really gut feeling right now because Because basically, because of that free month that you're mentioning, very few people are actually buying the game on PS4. So we hope that people will have enjoyed it enough to recommend it to their friends in January and February and March, and, you know, for the next year or two.
Now, are you guys going to be involved in the upcoming Steam sale?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I expect we will be. Whether we're featured and whether it's a super discount, I don't really know.
But there will be a regular discount during the sale.
That's right. Yeah, there was certainly for the last sale.
Okay.
One thing I will say to people as well, because I haven't mentioned this yet, but this is probably the most important thing I get out to people, is that the game's been patched on PC for over 2 weeks, so all of the reviewers' criticisms about bugs and that sort of thing are actually gone. That's why you didn't experience any.
Yeah, I didn't come across any bugs.
And I mean, some people didn't come across bugs anyway in the first playthrough, but we really wanted to try and stand behind our community, so we've patched the game on. Now all of the systems except PS4 North America, and the only reason that hasn't happened is because the Sony release manager is not there right now, and so they're a little bit crazy busy over there. So,
right. Well, so, yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, EU's been patched for a week, but there's nothing we can do. We're just hoping it comes out as soon as they can fit us in.
Well, let's get to some of these kind of wrap up type questions, and the ones that I've been most excited about to ask you. We'll start with Rain's question. Love the puzzles in the game. Are there any plans for a sequel or a second game of this type? And I would also include DLC for this.
So at this stage, I'm sorry for this wishy-washy answer, but we're looking at our options. So we have ideas for DLC, but creating content for Contrast is very expensive in terms of the time investment. So it would take us at least 6 months to develop something, I think, to the kind of standard that we'd want to create it at. So we have ideas, and if the game takes off and does really, really well, then it's quite possible that we'll do something like that, maybe along the lines of free DLC. If it doesn't do that well, then probably not. And that's just a purely business decision. I mean, no matter how much we might want to extend it, if we've not made enough money to fund that and something else that might make us more money in the future, we can't do it. And that's part of the problem with games like this. If you're not a great success, you have to move on to the next project.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us any kind of number on how much it costs to make Contrast?
Not really.
Okay.
What I will say is that you can extrapolate how much people get paid. Think about the full-time team for 2.5 years. I'll let you mathematically calculate that one yourself. But it's not the longer you take on a project, obviously the more expensive it's going to be.
Right. Fitbibits asks, now that Contrast has been released, what is next for Compulsion Games?
So what we're doing next, again, really depends on how things go in the next wee while. So I'm not ready to give an answer on that one, I'm afraid. It's the one thing we don't really know. So once we have an idea of what's going on, we'll be able to tell you guys.
When will you guys even think about what you're doing next?
Oh, we're thinking about it right now.
Oh, okay.
And certainly we've got different plans. It's a question of which plan we go with.
Are you guys going to, I mean, obviously different plans. And again, I'm not trying to hook you into getting an answer because obviously you don't even really know. But I'm just trying to get an idea of, will you guys stay in the puzzle platforming, or are you guys looking to kind of branch out to like, no, we're going to do a first person puzzle platforming, or we're going to do, you know, I mean, genres and that sort of thing.
I think if we do end up doing something new and different, it would be probably different. It probably wouldn't be a third-person puzzle platform game again.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is we kind of like the idea of doing something different. You know, we've worked on this game for quite
right.
a while.
Yeah.
We love Contrast. It's after a while, you do want to do something different. And if we do come back to puzzle platforming, I think it would be great to have a bit of time to think about it first. Contrast took shape over a long time, and we're really happy with it. If we wanted to do a sequel to it, we'd probably only want to make sure that we take a good amount of time so that we can actually do something meaningful with a sequel rather than just kind of pump out, you know, derivative products for cash. That's not who we are. So, yeah, I hope that makes sense. We don't know for sure, but probably maybe something that doesn't take 4 years to build. Maybe not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who is your publisher? You guys self-publish?
So that's a...
Is it Focus? Is it Focus?
That's a half and half answer. Yeah, so Focus published us on PC, PS3, and Xbox 360 because we needed at the time a publisher to get on those platforms.
Yeah.
And we're self-published on PS4.
Wow, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, man, it's been great talking to you, Sam. I really appreciate you gave us so much time, so much of your time, and so much honesty and openness with this. It's really, I hope you understand that it is more appreciated probably than you know.
well, perhaps I'll return that and say that you guys paying an interest to a team, you know, a small team working out of a crappy old disused gramophone factory means a great deal to us.
Really? You're in a gramophone factory?
Yeah.
That's sure awesome. Are.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think it's awesome. I don't know. I haven't seen it, obviously. So maybe upon looking at it, it's like, oh, wow, you guys made a game in this. But, I mean, I think that sounds – that. I mean, if you look at contrast and the art style and the not necessarily art style, but the time period motif, it seems to kind of fit with the gramophone type stuff.
It does. It's ironic, really. Oh, it's not ironic. Sorry, that's a terrible misuse of the English language. But it is very coincidental. I mean, at the same time, we're on Rue Le Noir, and we made a noir game. We didn't even realize that until about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it just didn't, you know, it didn't really click. But yes, there is a certain fittingness to the setting that we work in.
Man, well, it is great to have you on and talk to you again. I really appreciate it. Give my best to the entire team on this. They have done a fantastic and wonderful job. You know, Whitney with her art is just fantastic, and it's been a great experience for me. And I really hope everybody listening has a chance to play Contrast. Pick it up on Steam when it's on sale if you need to, or at full price. If you like what you're seeing in the trailer and you like what you see of the screenshots that are on Steam, by all means, grab that art book, because that's the tip of the iceberg on what you'll get. The designs of what Dawn was going to look like, which is great, but you also get some of the designs of what some of the set pieces were going to look like or how they even came about, and they're just beautiful. So I would really encourage people to do that. So, Sam, once again, thank you, man, for being on the show, and you are more than welcome to come back anytime you want to talk about whatever you guys got going on or anything else. So we really appreciate it.
We will. Thanks, Scott. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this.
And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That music was sent to us from a listener, Cactar, I believe is his name. This is from Crusader, No Regrets.
I feel like I need some glow sticks.
It's not that. No, it's not that. It's not that, I don't even know what the word is. Authentic. Techno, I guess, if you could say that. No, that's a Crusader, No Regret is the sequel to Crusader, No Remorse. And so a game I've never played. I looked it up on YouTube just to see what this game was about, and I couldn't get the objective of it. It's like a third person, it's a third person shooter from a not a top down perspective, but that top down angle,
like
perspective.
Isometric.
Isometric. Yeah. That's what I was trying to figure out and say. That's the view. I don't know, but it had Christmas music, and it's a video game, and he sent it in, and I'm like, you know what? You take the time to send it in, I'll take the time to put it on the show, especially if it's a Christmas-themed type situation. So, anyway, welcome back to the show. Next week, we're going to have... James will be back in the studio with us, and Matt, you'll be here with us, correct?
Yes.
RJ?
Yep.
And, of course, the big question, Dennis, will you be here next week?
I will be here.
Yay. You will?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Extra seats.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to get very crowded in
That's going to be the one we're going to have to figure out. We've got one more microphone that we can throw in here, and it's in that little room over there that we could put somebody in if we need to do that. But
or just have somebody man the phones that nobody ever calls in.
Somebody's calling right now, but I can't go over there and answer it and get through it. So I appreciate you, whoever's calling. I appreciate it. We don't have a message or anything that you can leave with us, but if you'll send us an email, everyone at In-Game Chat... we'll take a look at it if you have the opportunity to do so, or call back after the show's over with, directly after the show's over with, and I'll answer the phone. But I really appreciate you guys getting your calling us. I really appreciate the calls. So James will be back, and we'll have more people in here, and it'll be the show. It'll be our last show of 2013, and then I don't know. We'll do our gaming resolution type stuff. In fact, I'll just go ahead and make that assignment. Send us your New Year's gaming revolutions or resolutions.
Revolutions?
And revolutions.
And your resolutions as well. Send those in. Let us know what you plan on doing for the new year. Some people make New Year resolutions where they're like, you know what, I'm only going to buy one game this year. Or I'm only going to pay full price for one game this year. Some people say that, you know, I plan on clearing out certain titles in my backlog this year and that sort of thing. I'll tell you, that's going to be one of mine, is finishing up Witcher 2 in preparation for Witcher 3.
Yeah.
That's got to happen. That has to happen. There's no getting around that. That has to happen. So that'll be an easy resolution to make since I know it's going to happen. So,
have you started 2 yet?
I've just not even worth saying that I've started it. I have, but it's not even worth saying. I've just not even gotten into the main part of it, just like the tutorial.
Okay.
So... I thought it was a little too soon for me to get to jump into Witcher 2 after the first Witcher I completed. So I haven't started that up yet. This show is going to be posted on YouTube and will definitely likely get flagged for copyright infringement for the or not really infringement, but just say, look, you can't monetize this without the money going to the creators of this music.
Yeah, not that we are even monetizing it.
We don't monetize our videos.
We don't make money on this, folks.
No, we don't. We've talked about this. But YouTube kind of... we talked about this in the last episode about some of what's going on with the content stuff for YouTube. And we got an answer from YouTube, or at least a response, in the fact that they've said, this is the way it is. Yep. It ain't changing.
Nope, we like our content ID system, and we're going to be using it.
And they're not budging on that situation.
Nope,
It's done. Now, I will say, and I don't know that they've admitted to it, but I will say that there are some companies out there making false claims, correct?
Yes. Not to get into any specifics, but several indie developers. I know in particular the developer of VVVVVVVV. I know.
Just funny.
That's the game.
You know, some of his intentions were probably like, this is going to be fun for people to say.
He had one of his... trailers for his game on his YouTube channel flagged for content from somebody who at least doesn't go into detail in the article, but as far as we know, he has all the rights to everything in the game that hasn't gone out to anybody. But it got flagged for copyrights on YouTube. Thomas Was Alone has been gotten a lot of copyright claims for fans posting recordings of their game sessions. are getting hit by. The common thread seems to be like online music groups, which I won't get any specifics because there's no details on who exactly these people are, or yeah. if they have rights even.
Some have legitimate claims and some don't. You know, we got pulled for a couple of legitimate claims when we did the Star Wars pinball tables and stuff like that. We've been pulled Legend of Zelda, the not the game music, not the NES music that we have on some of the classic 8-bit stuff, but mm-hmm. the orchestrated music that I think the London Symphony Orchestra did an entire album of nothing but video game tunes that they did. Battlefield 4, that sort of thing. Zelda's one of it, and we play it, and it got flagged. And I was, it's fine. I don't mind getting flagged.
All the
we're
flags.
Fine. Yeah, we're fine, because we don't monetize. We don't make money off the video. So, you know, we're okay with that, but there's a lot of people who aren't. And so the ones that are legitimately getting flagged, it's not that I can't be sympathetic with you, but you're in between a rock and a hard place on that one. If you legitimately get flagged for this, sorry. There's no getting out of it. There really is not. It's the RAAA, RAAA.
It's YouTube trying to CYA themselves.
And that's what they're doing as well. But the ones who get flagged illegitimately and have a hard time disputing that claim, I really feel for those guys.
Yeah, and that's one thing stated in YouTube's statement is that, you know, sometimes in particular like music rights and such mm-hmm. have come up a lot. And YouTube said, well, you know, that's just the way online music rights work. So mute the sound when you're doing your Let's Play or what have you. And that's it. That's all they've said about it. It's not like, you know, we're trying to work for anybody. No, it's just, nope, just kill your sound. Just have it be dialogue.
Yeah, there was the first time this ever came up for us when I was uploading one of our videos to YouTube. It came up and said, hey, your music has been claimed by this third party. And it listed the third party. Like, it happens at this part of the video. Would you like to, you know, look at this and look it over? And I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I understand that. And they said, you know, we can take this music out and you can replace it with one of these from our free libraries. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know what? That doesn't work. We play video game music. None of what you have to offer is video game related. So I said, no, just keep it in there. I'm not going to dispute that. It's fine. So like I said, the people who are legitimately getting tagged for this, you really have no way out. You have no recourse. If it's legitimate, I understand that if a game company said, hey, go ahead, you can do this.
Yeah, some companies like Deep Silver, and like I said, no, we want you to put these videos out there, make money off them. We don't care. It's publicity for us.
But if their soundtrack, if any of their soundtrack was mm-hmm. licensed through another publishing company, that publishing company has the rights to claim ownership on that music. From what I understand, I am not a copyright lawyer in the least. So, but this is from what I gather is that a publishing company who publishes that soundtrack has separate rights, licensing rights as the video game publisher.
Yeah.
More than likely, they may have had some contract where it's like, we know you're going to publish our soundtrack, but this is going to show up in YouTube videos or it's going to show up online. People are going to use this, and we've given them permission. I don't think that was in any kind of contract that they ever signed.
No, probably not.
I honestly don't think they ever looked at it that way or looked that far into the future of this is what's going to happen.
No, as far as those music companies go, it's just what goes on YouTube is all they care about. They don't care what the game company says. You know, because as far as music company goes, it's like, oh, that's mine.
Yeah, right. And as far as we know, they're not gonna back down on this.
Yeah, no, it's Content ID is here to stay, according to YouTube. They're going to keep it running. It's going to automatically flag stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even things that aren't necessarily under another person's copyright.
Yeah. Well, we got about 5 minutes left of the show. Was going to talk about some of the Nintendo news that we got this week.
Yeah.
Not much. I mean, look, we rarely cover Nintendo stuff on the show.
Well, I mean, there has to
be. You're about the only one who owns that.
I have a Wii U, and I played one game for it a couple of months ago, and they're just, it's not like there's a complete lack of games on it. It's just nothing that's
sparking your interest.
Yeah, nothing worth going out and paying $60 for. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, New Super Mario Brothers. I still have DS games that are the exact same game I can play through. the only thing that's like really caught my eye recently was the Wind Waker remake.
Mm-hmm.
But
mine
same,
too.
I still have that on the GameCube.
Exactly. I still have it on the GameCube, and it's like I still remember Wind Waker entirely.
Yeah.
Well, basically, Mario Kart 8 was announced.
Mario Kart 8
kind of knew that was coming.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hyrule Warriors.
Hyrule Warriors.
One looks interesting.
It is Legend of Zelda meets Dynasty Warriors, and it is working with the people make Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah.
I
know, actually, B.A. Penguin was posting he wasn't, because Dynasty Warriors has co-op, it wasn't clear whether this game would have co-op.
But,
it just recently got announced, and they're calling it Hyrule Warriors right now, but that's not the final
name. That's not the final title? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the NES remix stuff, which I don't know what that is.
It looks a lot like...
I've seen what I think it is, which is just levels...
It's
certain levels, right?
Yeah, it's just classic NES games.
There was a Flash game that was like Super Mario Brothers that had different... You know, you could play through the original Super Mario Brothers, but it had different characters. You could do a...
That's a Super Mario Brothers crossover.
Yeah, crossover. It looks like that, where it's not just Super Mario's crossover, but it's like Donkey Kong crossover. Because I saw a picture of like Link in Donkey Kong.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. It's kind of like, you know, silly challenges you can do, like playing through Mario Brothers World, but going right to left with everything mirrored. It very much reminds me of the WarioWare games.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know, here's this challenge. You have a couple seconds to pull it off. But this one seems to be not necessarily limited to just a few seconds at a time. It looks interesting, but it's like till I can actually see it and play it in my hands, kind of like, well, maybe it'll be good, maybe not so much.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of Nintendo real quick, I did beat Link Between Worlds for the 3DS.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I really, really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that's another one that's kind of been pulling at me to go play the more I see it. So,
how did it compare to you between Link in the Past and this?
I think it held up really well. It feels just like, in a way, Link to the Past. So you have that feel of it, but it's still kind of new enough and different enough between, you know, the
being able to stick to walls.
Yes, so well worth it.
All right, that's going to do it for us, folks. Appreciate you sticking around for the Christmas episode of the show, whatever that means. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who grabs us every week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at ColonyOfGamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group. You can join up there and play games with us and other listeners. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Christmas, and we will see you next Saturday. We're leaving you here with Mario Sleigh Ride. This is an OC remix, and it's from the 1UPs. We'll see you next week.